This morning, as I begin, I want to draw your attention to your bulletins. If you would, grab those real quick. I want you to look at the back cover and to serve our congregation. Tonight, we've got a group that's going to the Eschaton Senior Center. They'll be singing out there. The teens will be going with them. We've got a group that's going to be doing a prayer tour, praying over our city. We got teams that are going to go out and visit those who are sick, those people who are visiting our congregation. We've got people who are going to be sending out cards. We got a group that's even knitting and putting together blankets and hats and mittens and scarves for the homeless as we go through this cold season. So I want you to read over this and be a part of our go tonight. That starts at 6. We're going to meet in room 101. We'll have a short devotional, and then we will divide up into our many and varied different projects. There are projects for the young. There are projects for the old. There are projects for families, and there are projects for singles. So come and be a part of that. Then on the inside of the back cover is a listing of our Bible classes, our adult Bible classes that we started just a couple weeks ago. If you have not yet joined and found a Bible class, I want to encourage you to look over this list and be a part of one of our Sunday morning Bible classes. We have some excellent featured classes this quarter. I want you to read over those and choose one. Stick around a little bit longer this morning if you're not in the habit of being a part of a Sunday morning class. This morning, I want to speak to you about authority and priority. In Mark, we find a long listing of Jesus's authority. And we've been challenging ourselves to be people in the Word. And so I want to ask you to grab your Bibles and stand with me and read over this commitment as we begin our service once again. Grab your Bibles and stand up with me. Repeat after me. I have prepared myself this week by reading and praying over the selected scriptures. I brought my Bible today, and I will actively participate in the sermon. As we go through this study, I commit myself to be an active learner of the Word and examples of Jesus. I commit also to take what I learn and share it with others. I want to learn to love people as God has loved me. Thank you very much. You may be seated. As I said, we're reading through Mark, and so if you would open up your Bibles to Mark, let's look at some things here that speak to the authority and the priority of who Jesus is. You see that Jesus had authority, and it came from God. He set his priorities, the way that he lived his life, based on that authority that God had given him. His work was not to just glorify himself, but to glorify God, and in doing so, to be a ransom for many people. This idea of authority, as we look at the life of Jesus, is clearly demonstrated throughout Scripture. And so, as we get started, I want you to open up your bulletin to the sermon page, just one page back from the middle of your bulletin. And I'm going to read some scriptures with you, and I want you to write these down. I want you to go back and study these as you go through this week. I want to give you some examples of Jesus expressing and demonstrating his authority here on earth, or then passing his authority on to those of his followers. Mark chapter 1, verse 22 through 27 says, "The people were amazed at his teachings because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' Jesus said sternly, 'and come out of him.' The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed, and they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to the evil spirits, and they obey him.' Mark chapter 2, verse 9. Flip over there or write this scripture down. 9 through 12. Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of all of them. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He appointed 12, designated them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out and preach, and to have authority to drive out demons. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 27. They arrived again in Jerusalem, and while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests and the teachers of the law and the elders came and asked him, by what authority are you doing this, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Verse 29 of Mark 11, Jesus replied, I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me. They discussed it themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for they held that John was really a prophet. And so they answered Jesus, we don't know. Jesus said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Turn to Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Jesus, talking to his disciples, he says, when you are brought before the synagogues, the rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. John chapter 5, flip over there. John chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. Jesus says, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him, God has given the Son, the authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. The reason my Father loves me is because I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. I love to hear those pages turning. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 says, after Jesus had said this, he looked towards heaven and he prayed, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you have given me. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world began. John chapter 19, verses 10 through 11. Do you refuse to speak to me, Pilate said? Don't you realize that I have the power either to free you or to crucify you? And Jesus answered, you would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 through 20. Then Jesus said to them, all authority on earth and in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you even till the very end. Jesus is an example of authority given from God above. He is clear about his mission. He is clear about his position in life. Authority in Scripture comes from this Greek word, exousia. And basically it gets translated out in a variety of different ways. It can mean authority, ability, power, jurisdiction, as in the government has the authority over this land or this area, these people, dominion, liberty, and strength. I want you to write down a couple of more verses for your study as we go and we look at some more of this biblical concept of authority, not necessarily in the life of Jesus, but in scriptural terms. Acts chapter 26, verses 10 through 12. Paul says that he was sent out to persecute the early Christians on the authority or by the permission of the chief priests. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, and Titus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2, we are taught that God has given authority to the governments and the powers that be, and that our position is to submit to the authorities as we submit to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says that we have the right or the authority, the privilege to eat and drink from a variety of different sources. But because of our love for one another, maybe we will refrain from certain activities. It even goes on to talk about the rights of the apostles to be supported in their work and their livelihood, or even to marry should they choose to. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities of the evil forces. Jude chapter 1, verses 24 through 25 says, the glory and the honor that we bestow, that's all glory and majesty and power and authority is to be given to God. The concept of authority is something that I want us to deal with and wrestle with, because oftentimes we live in a very legalistic world. We feel like we have to walk a certain line. We have to check off some boxes before we get the authority to speak and to show love. Sometimes we have a skewed view of what authority should be. I was reminded as I was going through this study and preparing of a guy that came to Japan a couple years ago to work with us. We had this group come, and most of them were older and retired in this group. But there was one man, he was about 30, and he just didn't fit in. The rest of them were going through a preaching school training, and they were kind of wearing, you know, the suit and the button-up shirts. Well, this guy got off, and he had the big boots on, you know, the combat boots kind of stuff, the jeans and just rugged, ragged t-shirts. He didn't look that bad, but he just didn't fit in with the rest of the preaching type. And as I got to know him, I realized that he'd only been a Christian for about a year or two. And I'll call him John. John was a pretty hard core guy. I mean, he just lived life to the fullest. He was into motorcycles and wild parties. He liked his women. He would work as much as he could to get enough money for the party and the activities of the weekend. And then he would rest up and do it all over again. John was really into motorcycles. And one weekend he was out riding with his buddies, causing trouble. And he had an accident and he busted up his shoulder, busted up his arm, went to the hospital and they put him in a full cast. And he was really bummed and upset because now it was just going to mess up the rest of his spring and the summertime as he was going to be in that cast for about 6 months. John had moved in with his girlfriend a year or so before the accident, living with her and her daughter. They lived in a nice little neighborhood, and right next to them was this older couple. And John said it was one of his joys in life just to try to bug that old man. See if their party could be loud enough or long enough into the night where the lights would finally come on in that old man's house. Or have some of the buddies show up in the driveway and just let out some of those words that we're not supposed to use and see if you can get that old man to turn his head in disgust or to go inside. Though the old man never did anything to John, John just didn't like this old man. And as fate would have it, as John was coming back from the hospital with his cast on, there was the old man out in his front yard, working and trimming. The old man showed care and compassion, came out and said, hey, what happened? John just was not in the mood to be pleasant at all. And so he let out a string of profanity, told the man, I had an accident, now leave me alone. in not so many words. John goes in and sets down to have a beer and forget his troubles. He sleeps the rest of the day off in his lazy boy chair. Saturday morning comes the next day, and he's awakened to the sound of a lawnmower. The old man is out there pushing his lawnmower and mowing John's yard. John is just beside himself. He's not going to take it. He's not happy with this. There is no way that this old man is going to come and take care of his stuff. So John just throws around the cans and he goes outside and he's just screaming and hollering and yelling at this old man. Get beep, 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 beep out of my yard. And the old man turns the lawnmower off. He never lets go of the handle. And he looks at John. Says, I'm going to mow your yard. John is just frustrated and infuriated. He steps back and he regains his momentum. And he comes right at this guy and says, get out of my yard! And he doesn't use those words. The old man doesn't blink. He just looks him down and says, I'm going to mow your yard. John is just beaten and frustrated. He goes inside, has a few more beers, and he just sulks the day away as that old man finishes off his yard. 2 weeks pass, and the same thing happens again. It's Saturday morning, and John's awakened to the sound of this lawnmower. And there's the old man mowing his yard again. John tries to get him to go, but he knows it's futile. He's not going to budge. He's not going to move. And the months go on, the weeks go on. Finally, the day comes when John gets to have his cast removed. And sure enough, there's the old man as John comes back, and John makes it clear that, look, I'm out of my cast, so leave me alone. I'm going to take care of myself now. And the next morning, the old man is out there mowing his yard again. John comes out with renewed strength. Now he's got two hands and he's ready for a good fight. And the old man just doesn't back away. He holds on to that lawnmower and says, I told you, I'm going to mow your yard. John is just totally beaten. He can't do anything to make this old man move. He has no power or authority over this guy whatsoever. So he just has to step back and scratch and say, but why? The old man finally looks at him and says, if you knew what God has done for me, you would know that I have to mow your yard. And from there, John realizes this man is not just a nice guy, but he's speaking something that is different. And John sits down and he listens to this old man tell him about his life and the differences that God has made. Talk about authority that changes the world. Jesus Christ living in us gives us a power that is much different. Where does this authority come from? Often we hear the term that might makes right, or maybe even right makes might. I want to propose to you that might does make right. When you think about it in God's terms, might does make right. Oftentimes we think about this in a negative context because we're limited in our scope and perspective. We think the guy who has got the biggest gun or guns. We think the guy who has the power or the person of political power or authority is going to be able to make what is right and tell us what we should do or shouldn't do. But you step back and you read scripture and you realize that those people who are in authority, those people who wear that badge, or those people who sit in those seats of honor, or those people who have been voted in to those political offices, they are there not because we voted for them, not because they had some sort of political clout, because God has chosen them to be leaders and authority. God has given them the responsibility. Now, they can choose to honor God with that position, or they can choose to honor themselves. But regardless, above them is a God Almighty who is supreme and all-powerful. And his might makes right. Jesus knew that when he was facing Pilate. Pilate said, don't you understand? I have the authority. I can free you. I can get this problem out of your hair. Or I can send you to the cross. Jesus says, don't you understand? You don't have anything other than what my Father has given you. It's never right to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do right. Oftentimes we feel like we live in such a political world where we have to walk such a tight rope, where we have to do things in the PC fashion. Well, Jesus says, you know what? That's wrong. This system is all screwed up. You people are serving yourselves and one another. You people are serving something that is futile and pointless and destructive and worthless. I serve a God who owns all of these things. And that's the authority and that's the power that I have. Abraham Lincoln said, never let us be slandered by our duty, by false accusations against us, or frightened from it by the menace of destruction of the government or the dungeons to ourselves. Let us have faith that right makes might. And in that faith, let us to the end dare to do our duty as we understand it. Not right does make might because our Almighty Father is right. Jesus also had a priority in life. He understood what he needed to do. He knew the first things to do. The greater the responsibility or the authority, the greater our responsibility to carry out that task. Imagine for a moment one of those few nights when President Obama finally gets to sit down with just his family. They're having dinner together. In the middle of dinner, one of the staffers comes in, whispers in his ear, Mr. President, missiles have just been launched. They're heading our way. The president picks up his napkin and he kind of dabs off his face. He sets it back in his lap. I'll take care of that when I'm done with dinner. Can you imagine a president ever saying that? How about a prison guard who's making his rounds and he realizes that one of the prisoners has escaped, but he hasn't had his break yet. And so, you know what? As soon as I have my break and I finish the rest of this round, then I'll let everybody know about the guy who's escaped. The great responsibility or authority that we have dictates our priority in life. And Jesus understood that he had a responsibility to come and to be a light to this whole world. And he had to make the most of each and every opportunity. He had to know the first things to do, as we say in our house, first things first and then the others. Or some people say the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. Jesus understood that day after day, his purpose was to become a ransom for many. And so therefore, he started by building relationships. And then he started with the correction. You see, Jesus, as he started into his ministry, he came and he started to heal. He started to help those people who were hungry and who was hurting. He built a reputation of a man who cared about people. So much so that as we read this story in Mark chapter 2, he was in a house and he was surrounded by all of these people who were sick and afflicted. Those people who were lame or deaf or blind. And he was healing and he was helping those people. You have these four friends who have a paralytic and they bring him through the roof and Jesus sees, okay, they understand that I do have the power to help them in this situation. Now it's time to move on to the greater mission, to talk about our sins and our relationship with God. And so Jesus chooses that opportunity. He takes that as a signal to raise his priority, to go to the next level. And he talks about their sins. He forgives the man of his sins. Next week, we're going to be talking about Trump. As Jesus looks at the culture and the life around him, I want you to be reading over Mark chapter 2, verses 13 and 17, and Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 36, and look at how Jesus looks at culture. And he says, this tradition or this style doesn't conform with my mission and my statement in life to love people and to help people as God has chosen me to do. God or Christ has authority that doesn't conform to the rest of this world. And as we look at that and we try to pattern our lives after that, we understand that our lives need to be different as well. This morning, I want to ask you, if you don't feel like you are in a place of authority, if you don't feel like you have the power in your life, I want you to be reminded that God has given His one and His only Son to die for you so that you might be saved and have a relationship with Him. That's how important you are, that God was willing to give His Son as a sacrifice for you. You may not feel powerful in your life or in your position. You may not feel like you have the influence and the effect that you want to have. But I want you to remember that if you are a follower of Christ, He has given you His Spirit. And that Spirit, Scripture tells us, is the same Spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead. You are invincible to the powers of this world. There is nothing that can harm you or take you away from your relationship with Jesus Christ and God our Father. We have a power that is inside of us. We have an authority to be on mission, to go into all the world and to proclaim His message. And when we sit back as weak and wimpy people, we do a disservice to God our Father. And we do a disservice to the people around us. What the world needs now really is love. And we need to connect to the power. We need to have the authority. We need to make a priority to make loving people our mission in life. Our elders and their wives are going to be going in the back foyer. If you need to learn about how to connect to the power and authority of Jesus Christ, or if you need to learn how to act that out more as a priority in your life, I want to encourage you to do that while together we stand and sing.